Don't spend your day informationally distant. Get up close with the news you need.
An earful of information.
It has to be based on the facts.
Steph Lucas.
Connect residents to information.
On KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. So we have a great episode of the Steph Lucas Show today. So what I'm telling you is the big deal is Governor Brad Little was in Ammon, Idaho for Capitol for a day. Lots of government officials there. Lots of questions about water rights, etc. So you have this going on inside. The conflict on the outside is a very large but peaceful protest. About 250, 300 people there to protest vaccine mandates. Clearly, they want Governor Brad Little to take action. So that's what they were there for today. And of course, I had a chance to ask Governor Brad Little a question. Let's just get to it first. As I always say, we're going to have to play this. Steph Lucas has been to a lot of press conferences the last couple days, and I will tell you, every time there's a press conference and I have to ask a question, this goes through my head.
Mr. President, I have a question. How come you don't sell
what you play? So, another episode of Steph Lucas asking questions. I just want to get right to it, right? I asked Governor Brad Little about what Gavin Newsom said. Does he really support vaccine mandates? And like I said, Joe Biden says a lot of things. Here's Steph Lucas. I have a question.
For like 1 minute, and the rest of that was there were people in the room all the time. So there were.
Let's rewind that. Where did it go? Sorry. If I'm going to ask a question, we got to go back to the beginning for context. It happens. Okay, here we go. Steph Lucas. I have a question.
I just had a question about something Joe Biden said at the rally with Gavin Newsom. And I know Joe Biden says a lot of things. He said at the rally that he had that meeting with you on Monday at the fire center. And then he said that you told him you were in favor of vaccine mandates. I know. And he does say a lot of things, like I said. So I just thought you might want to take the opportunity to address that because there is video of it.
Well, there's video of what he said, but there was, I talked to you for like 1 minute. And the rest of that was there were people in the room all the time. So there were plenty of witnesses. And we didn't talk about anything about that. So I don't know. When they said that to me, I said, I don't know what planet he was on when he said that. So it was not, I did not say that.
All right. So he did not say that. Like I said, inquiring minds want to know. That's all I wanted to know. And of course, Brad Little has sent out press releases saying it's a horrific government overreach. But if I get a chance to get the skinny on Joe Biden saying what Joe Biden says and being proven wrong, I will take that. So thanks to Governor Brad Little for clearing that up. In the meantime, there were protests outside. There was a lot of people there and they were, you know, holding signs, waving flags, no vaccine mandates, right? So I wanted to interview a lot of people, but as per usual, Steph Lucas is under the gun. So essentially, I found someone to interview. It was Representative Julianne Young. She actually was at of course she was at the rally. Anyway, I asked her a question just about why she was there. Here's that. Hopefully you can hear it. But I want you to listen to this because in the background, you can hear people cheering. You can hear all these horns honking in support. I mean, it was terrific. It was really a good crowd out there, you know, just doing their thing, peacefully protesting. And there was so much recognition for them. People were honking horns, driving by, waving in support. So you can hear a little bit of that in the background noise when I'm talking to Representative Julianne Young. Here's that clip. Horns in the background. That's terrific. All right. Julianne Young, you're here at the vaccine mandate protest today. Governor Brad Little's at lunch, but everyone's still here. There's tons of support, clearly. Let's talk about why you're here.
Yeah, you know, I've spent my morning visiting with some of our guys from the site. We've got people that are being fired, people that are willing to be fired because this basic principle of freedom is so important to them. You know, our ability to make personal health decisions fully informed, free of any kind of coercion and or duress is just a fundamental part of our right to life.
Right.
And you give that away and you violate liberty at a really fundamental level. So We're looking for answers. We're talking to folks and getting information, and we're letting Governor Little know that we have some concerns.
I have listeners that have called me privately and expressed concerns that Idaho's running out of time, that the governor's legal action, while it might be well-intended, is not going to happen soon enough. What do you say to that? What's some of the avenues we can take? What's the best we can do right now?
You know, I keep getting told, well, there's exemptions. I just talked to some guys that are being told that the only exemption that's going to be available to them is if they want an exemption from all vaccines. I mean, the answers that we're being told are available to people, people are being told are not available. So we just really are trying to pin down what's what. I'm making some phone calls to folks at the site and looking for people that can help us get clear on what really is an option for people and what's not.
Okay, great. There's so many people honking horns right now in support, so it's kind of, yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good group here.
That's what that is. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Seth.
That's Representative Julianne Young. Sorry you didn't hear that in part. I mean, there were just huge trucks driving by, so enthused in support for people protesting vaccine mandates outside of Ammon, Idaho, Capitol for a day where Governor Brad Little was. Now, Julianne Young mentioned there she was speaking with people at the rally from the INL, former employees of the INL, and they have concerns about these vaccine mandates because, according to my sources, the INL has already gone ahead and mandated these vaccines. So joining me now, gracious enough, I have four gentlemen here. We have Doug Toomer. Welcome to the show. Thank you. Have Will Roberts, a former INL employee. We have Sam. And we have Dennis Marsden, of course, concerned citizen. So we're here to discuss these vaccine mandates. We have a few minutes before the break. So I just want to talk to you guys a little bit about the protest today. Doug Toomer, let's just go ahead and hear your story and your concerns. You're with Stand Up for Idaho.
Correct.
Okay. Let's have you move the mic towards you a little bit. Okay. Sorry, guys. Live radio. We got to get more microphones here. But let's talk about the rally today. You were there?
Okay. Well, the rally today was primarily to let people know that we, that the mandate to have a vaccine. And again, let me clarify, this is not about the vaccine at all. And what it is, it's a freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is, of anything in the world, your body itself is the most sacred thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you should have the right to choose whether or not you take a shot or not, or whatever you do. With the mandates that are occurring, they're taking that right away from you. And what today's event was for is to try and bring awareness that we're not going to just stand, sit by and let things happen, let people know that there are a lot of people out there that are supporting them. There's a lot of people out there wondering, are they the only ones, are they alone in this thought? And the rally was to show, no, they are not alone in this, and we're going to stand up and help them do things and figure it out. And like you said earlier, it's to let Governor Little know that the people of Idaho do not approve of him not doing anything. There have been opportunities throughout the year to circumvent this issue, and he's waited long enough. He's waited almost too long.
Yeah.
And so our hope is that he will come to the point of bringing the legislature back and the Senate, and that they can actually come out with some good legislation that will prohibit mandates, vaccine mandates, for all employees, public and private employees. And because, again, when you get down to it, the right of what goes into your body is your right.
Yes.
And should not be dictated.
Exactly. So let's talk about what you said about Governor Brad Little and, of course, reconvening the legislature. First, we're told it's up to Scott Bedke alone. I had a press conference with some legislators yesterday who chose to stay in Idaho Falls area instead of going to Boise with some other legislators that are trying to reconvene a session. They told me, these legislators essentially said, that it's going to take more than just Speaker Scott Bedke calling the House back into action. Where do you think – would you like to see the legislature reconvene?
Would I like to see that?
Yes.
Yes, I would. And the thing that I think that I was disappointed in, and I heard some of the interviews of those that decided to stay behind and all mm-hmm. that, we are in some difficult times right now. And mm-hmm. so we actually need to stand up and step out of protocol a little bit, you know,
yeah.
peacefully and all that. And the legislators that went to Boise basically took a stance and said, you know, we recognize and we understand what the people of Idaho are going through, mm-hmm. and we're going to stand up and we're going to try to make something happen. And I applaud them for doing that. Those legislators that chose to stay behind, mm-hmm. I understand their reasoning, but I'm a bit disappointed because, again, we're in this – I'll just say this. We're in this mess that we're in because of the way we've done things in the past.
Right.
And to continue to do things as we have done in the past by protocols and all of this is going to just make it hard for us.
Right.
And so, to me, the legislators need to know who their boss is. And that's the citizens of the state, of the citizens of Idaho. And by standing up and making it known that they are accountable to us, that is key in my view. And again, from that perspective, I applaud those people that went on their own dime over to Boise to say, we stand up for the people of Idaho. The people that chose to stay home, they had their reasons, but in my view, mm-hmm. they says, I choose to stand up for the process, not the people of Idaho.
Doug, thank you for that. That's well put. I appreciate that. So let's turn the mic over here to Will Roberts. We have to go into a break, but I just wanted to briefly introduce everyone else. Thanks for that opening statement, Doug. Will Roberts, you used to be employed for the INL. Is it okay for me to say that?
Right.
Okay. You lost your job recently.
Yes.
Okay. And what was that over?
That was officially over not wearing a mask.
Okay.
There were other things that I brought up in the process legally, concerns mm-hmm. regarding coercion of employees to get the vaccine, and that tripped various procedural processes, and mm-hmm. here I am.
Wow. Well, thank you for speaking out. We're going to get to your story coming up, and then we have Sam. Are you able to talk a little bit just about?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. Well, let's just hear why you're here.
Well, I'm here because I need to be involved in the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
INL has made some decisions to move forward and ahead of the executive order
mm-hmm.
Timeline. The senior management feels very strongly about vaccinations.
Right.
And there's a strong safety culture, which I love about INL.
Well, sure. Nuclear power.
Absolutely. And it's a great place to work.
Mm-hmm.
In this one aspect, in the mandating of vaccines to exclude discussions and also to make taboo the conversation about mm-hmm. alternatives, there's a line that's being crossed here, and it just hasn't been a safe topic to talk about.
Right.
And I spoke with Governor Little this morning as well.
Okay,
just in the town hall at Ammon, you know, talking about concerns and asked him, what are you doing to preserve rights, and what can you do mm-hmm. to improve the communication about alternatives here?
Right.
There is so much funding that's been put into public affairs on vaccinations, pushing that one solution, that there's just not equitable discussion going on.
Okay, I agree with that. That's well put. And then we have Dennis Marsden, and I hope right, you're over there. And let's talk about, were you at the protest today?
I was.
All right.
It was great.
And you said you weren't employed by the INL, but you're certainly a concerned, informed citizen, and you would like to stand up.
Yeah, I'm just a local citizen, and I see, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
You know, if you see the government's toe coming through the door, then his knee and then his leg, and it just gets bigger and it gets worse. And what comes around and gets these INL employees. Eventually, is going to leak down into the school faculties and the big businesses, and they're just going to continue to encroach on Idahoans' constitutional rights.
Right.
So I'm concerned about that.
Okay.
I have children that I have a son that's a doctor. He's in Washington. They've given them the vaccine mandate there, and which is worse than Idaho. And they're having to deal with it. And I have a son-in-law here in Idaho that works with cybersecurity. And his company has more than 100 employees.
Oh.
And so they're feeling the threat of possible vaccine mandates there as well.
Yeah.
So this is an experimental drug. It really shouldn't be called a vaccine.
Right. A lot of people prefer to call it the shot.
Yeah, the jab.
Yeah.
And we don't know the long-term impact of this. And people that are concerned about that have a right to question it.
Yes.
And to challenge it.
Yes.
And to stand up against mandates. And my concern is to support my neighbors.
I see. Well put. Thank you so much. Well, gentlemen, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to discuss further everyone's feelings about and thoughts on this vaccine mandate. And we're going to talk to you a little bit more, Will Roberts, about why you had to lose your job over masks. I'm interested in that story. More on the way with current INL employees and concerned citizens about these vaccine mandates after the protest against vaccine mandates outside Ammon City Hall today.
From our governor on down to our city councils, Steph Lucas keeps you updated on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. We're getting around to the elephant in the room in East Idaho. We are talking about the Idaho National Lab and vaccine mandates. I am very, very fortunate today to have some gentlemen with me that are current and former employees of the INL, as well as a concerned citizen, Dennis Marsden. Well, right now, we're going to get to Will Roberts. Will, you were working with the INL. You were in a supervisory position, and you were fired, essentially, or let go over an issue with masks. I want to hear the whole story. What happened?
So earlier in the year, when the INL began their new vaccine policy, basically dividing standards between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, that's the point where it occurred to me that this could be potentially seen as coercive. Basically, me supporting coercion against anybody working in my facility to get the vaccine, along with the various other policies that INL uses. And that's the point where I stopped wearing my mask because I wasn't willing to be basically supporting that in front of other people that I was an example for. And it was several weeks. And then eventually, I was called into an office, asked if I was vaccinated.
They asked you if you were vaccinated?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Keep going.
So my response, my initial response was, it was somewhat messier than this, but my initial response was to ask, what the legal support was for asking me that because of the HIPAA.
Yeah.
And I was, it was explained to me that the ADA is what allows that to be asked under the idea that I could potentially be a threat to the health of my coworkers. And that's where the process went from there. I accepted their answer and told them that I wasn't vaccinated and they went through that process. Coupled with that, at the same time, I had emailed the company asking about similar things. I was asking about things like the FDA laws applying to emergency use authorization,
So you had questions,
right?
You asked HR those questions.
It wasn't HR. They have a COVID-19 question and answer email.
Okay. Site okay. So they have a forum in. For that, right?
Right. Okay. Something like that. Yeah. And yeah, that's where the process went from there.
Mm-hmm.
Started with what was expected to be a verbal warning or something along those lines, and then it very quickly changed into a administrative action. And basically, that's where you get five managers together, and they discuss your case, basically. And I had a few hours to submit an argument, which was about 6 pages long.
Yeah.
And and then I got word the next day that they were firing me. So that was
wow. It happened.
Process took Tuesday through Friday.
It happened that fast.
Yep.
You know, there's usually a lot of red tape involved with government facilities. I'm really quite surprised it happened that fast. that's a lot to speak out about. Thank you for sharing that story. What are your concerns with vaccine mandates? Because you stood up and you just, I mean, it isn't even a matter of you taking a stand and standing up, really, which is what you did. But essentially, you've just had some questions. And this is what happened. So how are you feeling about this now?
I mean, I'm doing well now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm glad it's a decision that I made, that my wife and I made together.
Yeah.
What
are your concerns for other employees of the INL after what happened with you?
So my concern is that there's very likely a lot of other employees that are not as well off financially as far as being ready to take a step that could lead to their firing.
Mm-hmm.
This was something that my wife and I actually spoke about weeks ahead of time when they changed the policy and actually looked at our resources and whether or not we could survive something like that. And
that's a good plan.
We eventually came to the conclusion that, we were actually prepared in the event that it led to firing.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, it was kind of an outside extreme. We weren't expecting firing from it, especially since the attitude throughout most of the site at the time was the pandemic's pretty much over. Most people were not wearing their mask, vaccinated or not.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I was not amongst a minority.
right.
In that, so.
Right. So this is, wow, what a compelling story and a really good point there. I think that people should take to heart with what's happening with these vaccine mandates. Look at your financial resources. That was very forward-thinking of you. Very forward-thinking of you. Now, Sam, we're talking about what Will said reflects with what you and I were talking about during the break, and it's the INL HR, their COVID task force, needing to have a conversation. I sense that you're uncomfortable with edicts just being handed down, and you would just like to facilitate a conversation. Let's hear what kind of conversation you would like to have.
Absolutely.
Let's have you move just a little bit forward. There
Stephanie,
you go.
I've been engaging my manager and the COVID email that Will had mentioned, and I personally have some very sacred and family responsibilities that prohibit me from receiving this vaccine, and so I need to work that out. And the conversation that I'm trying to encourage here is really about alternatives, taking into account natural immunities, and also just a balanced conversation about what is really being mandated. The direction that we received as employees is you must be fully vaccinated by the 19th of November.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Well, the justification was, certain vaccines have been FDA approved.
Right.
Well, that's good, but wait a sec. As I understand it, those vaccines are not commercially available, not even quite in production yet. My understanding is that those may be a year or two out. So the vaccines that are available right now that employees are, being required to receive in order to keep their employment, they were created under the EUA. And I've got questions and concerns. And unfortunately, there's this stigma about talking about it that really is uncharacteristic of mm-hmm. of this great workplace.
Sure, I get that. And you know, one of the things, I have a brother that's a CEO of a couple of very large companies, or has been. I don't talk about him a whole lot because he don't want to hear from his kid's sister, you know, talking about him on the show. I'm sure it's embarrassing, but we've had conversations before about what it takes to run a company, transparency, and you know, people don't leave a workplace, you know, unless there's like toxic environments. You don't want it to be a toxic environment, and you need transparency to keep it from getting to that point. And like you said, the INL is a terrific company, and you just want to have these conversations. And I think from a leadership standpoint, from different companies, it's important to have that transparency, and I appreciate that, Sam.
You're right, Stephanie, and over 400 INL employees signed a petition and presented that to INL CEO, you know, saying, we have concerns. We want to talk some more about alternatives. We call upon you to slow this down a little bit. Now, I am not saying that the employer can't decide
sure.
Who their employees are in the standards. We make better decisions when we talk respectfully and mm-hmm. openly together. That is how. We run all of our safety operations,
right?
And we talk before, we talk during, we talk afterwards. We write up our notes, we learn from them. I mean, it's really great, world class. But in this case, in this one case, there's not that discussion happening. And yeah, over 400 employees
wow.
signed saying we think more needs to be done
yes.
right now.
That's significant. And I do know, of course, the INL. Is, you know, everything there is based on science. I mean, it's really a bastion of science here in Idaho. And I don't think science happens in a vacuum, certainly. So I think if you have 400 employees that are probably pretty highly educated and or experienced, I think you should listen. So that's significant. All right, we're going to take a break. Dennis Marsden, when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more from you and about your son in Washington State that's a doctor. And then, Doug, we're going to talk about an event Stand Up for Idaho has coming up called, well, I've got it written down here. We're going to find out. Is it non-essential? It's non-compliant. There we go. We're going to talk about it coming up next on the Steph Lucas Show.
We've got all your local favorites, the mom-and-pop stores and restaurants.
Well, I was born in a small town.
And talk show hosts.
Yes. I love your show.
Steph Lucas.
I just want you to know what a breath of fresh air you people are.
The local treasure.
I listen to your show all the time.
Who's loved by everyone.
I think you're politically wrong.
You're so pompous.
I'm just cringing in my car.
Well, almost everyone.
I just started listening to you, and I love you.
The Steph Lucas Show, afternoons 4 to 6 on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Very fortunate today to be joined by several former, current employees of the INL, as well as Dennis Marsden, who's concerned about vaccines as well. He knows these gentlemen from the INL. So we're having a fascinating discussion about INL employees concerned about the vaccine mandate. There are just some who don't want to take it, or even then, even if they do have the vaccine, I'm sure there's INL employees that don't think it's right to require someone to have a vaccine to be able to work somewhere. So I was speaking with Sam here, and he says there's been a petition signed by over 400 INL employees saying, essentially, don't you think we need a little bit more time? Aren't we jumping the gun here? Can we just, you know, go about this a little bit more cautiously? Is that kind of the gist of the petition, Sam?
Well, yes, certainly laying out a request for, you know, some alternatives, some mm-hmm. additional alternatives to be considered, asking that, you know, allow the executive orders to get due process mm-hmm. and to be considered.
Okay. Well, sounds like it was very well written and thought out, that petition. Now, Doug, I don't want to forget about this, so we're going to cover this. You have a movie coming up. Stand Up for Idaho is making a presentation. Is it at the Paramount Theater in Idaho Falls?
Yes, Paramount Theater in Idaho Falls. It's just behind the or by the near the Grand Teton Mall.
Uh-huh.
And the title of the movie is Noncompliant.
Mm-hmm.
And I, honestly, I have not seen it myself, but I've heard raves about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I arranged to have it shown at the Paramount. It will be Tuesday, the 21st. And when the first showing will be at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then the second will be at 7:45 and the third at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cost to anybody to attend.
Okay.
Okay, and so everybody is encouraged to attend and see what it's about. So really invite everybody to come.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that. So let's talk a little bit with you, Dennis Marsden. Of course, you're a concerned citizen. Your son is a doctor in Washington State. Are you comfortable telling me if he was okay with the vaccine mandate, or did he just, you know, feel like he wanted to make the decision for himself?
It's my son-in-law, but he's not happy with the vaccine mandate. In fact, he's very opposed to it, and he and his wife and family are looking for solutions to that so that he doesn't have to submit to a government mandate.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I think you're driving home Doug's point here. Doug said this isn't about the vaccine itself, whether it's you know, right or wrong, or if some people think it needs more science, you know, a lot of people are saying, look, you are forcing people to do something. Force is not the way to get people to do things. It's simply not. It's baked into the Constitution of the United States is that you cannot force people to do things. I mean, this has been documented by philosophers from Greek and Roman times. Logic dictates people do not respond well to force.
Stephanie, if I can add to that, part of my interest in this is in looking at the law itself.
Mm-hmm.
In Title 39, Health and Safety of the Idaho Code, Chapter 90, Paragraph 2, it states, it is hereby declared that the public policy of the state of Idaho, consistent with our constitutionally recognized and inalienable rights of liberty,
mm-hmm.
is that every person within the state of Idaho is and shall be free to choose or decline or to choose any mode of securing health care. I mean, that's part of the Idaho Code. Now, that is a reflection of our Idaho Constitution.
Yeah.
And it's based on that. And so the legislature, when they passed Title 39,
right.
were looking to the Idaho Constitution and saying, what are the rights of Idaho citizens?
Right.
And then the governor, just regarding the governor's powers, Title 46, Section 601, mm-hmm. Paragraph 2 states the following. During a period of extreme emergency, the governor shall have complete authority over all agencies. And I underline that.
Yeah.
It's over all agencies.
Yeah.
He has the power over the agencies. He doesn't have power over the citizenry. It goes on and says the agencies of the state government, including all separate boards and commissions, and the right to exercise within the area of regions wherein the state of extreme emergency exists. So they're mm-hmm. looking at geographical focuses here and
okay.
not a broad application of these things. But just to continue briefly, all police powers vested in the state by the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So he's bound by the Constitution. And if he issues an executive order that exceeds his constitutional powers,
right.
it's not law.
Plain and simple. That's
yeah.
a brilliant explanation. Thank you for that. I wrote that down. Title 39, Chapter 90 is the gist of it, right?
Yeah, and the second one was Title 46, 601.
46, 601. Well researched. Thank you. Excellent point. This has been great, guys. We're running out of time. I could talk to you for another hour. This is terrific. Thank you so much for standing up. Will Roberts, that was, wow, what a compelling story. And Sam, thank you for you just speaking out about being part of the conversation and that petition. Doug Toomer, standupforidaho.org, and then Tuesday, non-compliant, showing at the Paramount, 6 o'clock, 7:45, and 9:30.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
That'll be great. Well, wow. Again, we could talk for a whole nother hour. We're going to do this again sometime, but thanks for joining today. Anything else you guys would like to say in closing?
I would just like to say that we need to think about what we're doing and what's going on. You know, it's your rights. Mm-hmm. You, the Constitution and your God-given rights and everything, it's about you.
Yeah.
And we, our country, the United States of America, and what our forefathers fought for, and our military throughout the years and the decades and all of this, and World War II, every battle that we've been is to preserve our Constitution, which basically boils down to that we each individually have rights. Not that the government gives them to us or affords them to us or anything. The job of the government is to protect those rights.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm going to have to stop you right there, Doug Toomer. That's a great way to end it. Thank you so much for joining. We're going to do this again soon, guys.